With the 2 Peter chapter 1, and we will read first 10 verses.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. How much more we need a proof that Peter wrote this letter. But still people will try to confuse. But we are not going to confuse. We are going to see whoever wrote this letter. Peter or another Peter, doesn't matter. It's a word of God and it has encouragement for our souls. I believe this is the Peter who is the apostle of Jesus Christ. And what he is trying to say, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Peter is saying, I am the servant of God. God has called me. He has chosen me. And he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now somebody says, what kind of faith is so precious? He says, like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. What is that precious faith? Everybody, even the people do not believe in God. They say, I have faith. And some people do certain things by faith, even that they don't believe in God. That faith is not precious. Precious faith is who created the faith. The creator of faith is who? Jesus Christ. He says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, what? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So that faith is precious. That's faith by God or given by Jesus Christ. That faith saves you. That faith gives you eternal life. Believing in something else or someone else, that is not the faith will take you to heaven. So here is saying that faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is our Savior and he has saved us from sinful life. And that's the one, the faith of God will save you. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, when you say grace and peace goes hand in hand, we know if you read Ephesians chapter 2 and read first 5 verses, Ephesians chapter 2. We could read up to 8, but I just wanted to read 5.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
So what the word of God is saying, we were worthless, we were dying without God and without Christ, but God in rich in mercy saved us by grace. How did he do it? He sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary. Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we are saved. And then we say grace and peace. Peace came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one peacemaker. Isaiah chapter 59 says, our sin came between God and us. And so Jesus Christ came, broke down the middle wall, a partition. Now we have peace with God. And when we pray, we can call God Abba Father. Peter is saying, what we need is grace and peace. Someone says, I have grace, I have peace. But he says, be multiplied unto you. And how you multiply the peace? Through Jesus Christ. He says, once you know more and more about God, more and more about Jesus Christ, you're going to get more and more blessed. So many hidden promises we have. But once you know Jesus Christ, God is going to reveal you his plan and his greatness. So he says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now verse 3. According to his divine power, hath given us to all things that pertain unto life. According to his what? Divine power. When you say divine power, that's the power of God. All other powers are not divine. But the divine power is the power of Almighty God. That power is greater than any power in the world. Devil has a power. He's a powerful. But our God is what? Almighty God.
Amen.
He is more powerful than anybody else. So what he's saying, God, according to his divine power, hath given us all things. What things? Things what we need for daily living and things we need for eternal life. Everything what we need, God has given to us. That means we don't have to go to anybody else. But our God says he has given us everything. We don't need anybody else but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, if you have everything. Whatever you need. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, what he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many needs? Not one, not two, not three. All your needs. Our needs are met by Jesus Christ. Once you know that God is supplying my needs, I don't go to anybody else. I know my God is all-sufficient God. So what the word of God is saying, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. How did we get it? God's godliness, God's divine power, God's divine virtue, and everything what God has given to you for in this world and world to come. When Jesus Christ was doing his ministry and he called his people, come and follow me, even the Peter. And Peter says, what am I going to get? Do you know what Jesus says? You are going to get 100% what you left and plus eternal life in the kingdom of God. So following Jesus Christ, you do not lose anything. Some people say, if I follow Jesus, I have to give up something. I guarantee you, you get more than what world is giving you. Once you have Jesus, you have everything. You have worldly thing what you need, only what you don't get, what the devil is giving you, to destroying your life, those things you don't get. But the things what you need for your food, your shelter, your transportation, your clothing, and everything he has promised. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, what he says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added unto you. When you say these things, if you read the chapter from 25 onwards, he mentioned all of those things the world is looking for. So he said all of those things will be added unto you. And the word of God says, how do you get it? You have to have the knowledge of God who is giving you. The word of God says, my people perish what? Without the knowledge. Without the knowledge of God. If you have the knowledge of God, that God has everything for you, then you don't go to anybody else. He has given us everything. And once you know this, then you are going to call upon Jesus Christ. One man came to me, he says, I got a headache. What kind of headache? He says, somebody's beating drum in my head for 13 years. Now can you imagine that kind of headache? You don't get rid of any medicine or anything. So what I'm trying to say, if you know my God supplies my little needs and a great needs. So you go to God before you do anything. Ask God to provide your needs, and they are there. Okay, verse 4. Anyone can read. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, please.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Exceeding great and precious promises. There are books out, the promise books, some of them like 300, 400 pages. There are hundreds of promises of God in the Word of God. So he says what? Exceeding great and precious promises. God's promise, he says, exceedingly great and precious. Sometimes people promise you something and they make you disappointed. But God's promises is what? The Word of God says, God promises is yes. And amen. That means he never changes his word. The Word of God says, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will establish forever. That means if God says something, it's settled forever. So when he promised something, he will give it to you. But sometimes we want everything what? Instead. Right now. And that's what the problem is. But the Word of God says, exceeding great promises God has given to us. And why he gave these promises to us? Ye might be partakers of his divine nature. Divine nature. So once God's promises you receive, what are the promises? Let me give a few. God promises that if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. God promised with his stripes you are healed. God promises eternal life. And everything what you need is in the Word of God. God's promises are great promises. And when you believe that God said it, and it is true, it will work for you. And then what he's saying, once you receive those promises, then you will have more faith in God. If somebody promised you, I'll give it $100 tomorrow, and he didn't give it to you. Then he said, I'll give it tomorrow for sure. And he didn't give it to you. And he says, tomorrow is for sure. And he didn't give it to you. Three times he promised you and you didn't get anything from him. Fourth time he promises, will you believe? You will not believe. You know, there is a story. So wolf is coming. When you start saying, and it is no wolf coming, even though there is a real wolf comes, nobody will believe. So the false promises people give, and those promises they give, and you get disappointed. But God never disappoints you. And some people say, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happened. I prayed for my healing, nothing happened. I prayed for my job, nothing happened. I prayed for this, nothing happened. The Word of God says, there is a check mark. Check if your life is according to the Word of God. If you want something, then you line up with the Word of God. If your life is pleasing in the sight of God, there is nothing impossible for God to do it for you. If I'm a child of God, all the promises belong to me. So he says, all of these promises God has given you, for what? So you should have divine nature. What does it mean? You should act like God. When God promised everything and you got everything what you needed for your life, what you do? You live for God, right? If worldly person gives you a glass of water, what do? You say thank you, right? If somebody invites you for dinner, you say thank you. Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. He has given us His own blood. He has given us everything what we need in this world and world to come. So what we're supposed to do? We should not be only thankful, but we should say, Lord, I want your life in my life. I want to live for you. That's what I'm trying to say. If somebody gives you money, you work for that person, work for that company. When he gave you eternal life, why cannot we work for him? Let our light shine. Let the whole world know that we are called by God. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by this we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What does it mean? He says God has given us all of these promises. Not only that, when you live in the promises of God and the will of God, you got the divine power and divine nature. What does it mean? That means you are going to live a clean and holy life. If the dog's baby will bark like a dog, right? Cat's baby will talk like a cat. Means they don't talk, they will say meow. So the man's child will act like a person. So the same way, if you are a child of God, you will act like a child of God. Do you know St. John chapter 14 and verse 12? What he says? Jesus says, I did all these miracles when I was in this world. All these miracles you will do. And what?
Greater
miracles than this you will do. We cannot do what Jesus did, so how can we do what he didn't do? What Jesus says, I am the truth. And Jesus is the truth and he tells the truth. We have to believe it. Jesus healed the people by the word. He says he spoke the word and people got healed. But the word of God says in the book of Acts, unusual miracle happened by Paul. And he gave the handkerchiefs and some aprons and people got healed. Another person, Peter. Peter just walking on the street and people are crowding and the sun hits the Peter and his shadow falls on people. People start getting healed. Amen. Never happened in Jesus' life. Jesus' shadow did not heal anybody. But the Peter's shadow was healing people. Our God is not jealous when we do the things what God told us to do. So he says if you have a divine virtue and divine power, you are going to act like God, live like God, and use his power to do the miracles. You remember Jesus said, if you have faith, you tell this mountain, be thou removed, and he will obey you. And sometimes people say, this is just Jesus said it. But it's not going to happen. If you say it's not going to happen, it will not happen. If you believe it, it will happen. Try sometime. I tried and I moved the mountain, a real mountain. So the word of God is saying, what the last part of this thing, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How you can escape the corruption? Having the divine nature of God. Having the power of God. As soon as you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what happens? As soon as you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and believe that you are born by the Word of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you, you get the new nature of God, and you get the even new body of Christ. Because the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this flesh and this blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means no one can go to heaven just like this. You remember that astronaut went to moon, and one of the Russian astronauts start saying, and some other people start saying, we came up to moon, but I don't see any God here. What they thought? They thought when you bodily can go to heaven as you are. But the Word of God says it is impossible. You cannot go to heaven with this physical body and this physical blood. You cannot go to heaven. So that's what the Word of God says. We cannot enter into the kingdom of God with this body and this corruptible blood. Then somebody will say, in the book of Hebrews, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ went to heaven with his own blood. Now, if the blood is not allowed into the kingdom of God, how come the blood of Jesus Christ was allowed in the kingdom of God, in the most holy place? Do you know? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is holy. Only holy blood of Jesus Christ is allowed to go to heaven. But our blood is corrupted. We are not holy. We are not worthy. But thank God for Jesus Christ. He washed us with his precious blood.
That's right.
But now what happens if Jesus Christ comes today? He has promised. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. Please read.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Jesus Christ, he can change our mortal body into his glorious body. And that is the greatest hope you have. Jesus Christ is coming. When he comes, this natural body is going to change to the glorious body. Go to the first Corinthians chapter 15 and start reading from verse 51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
How did we get the victory? Through Jesus Christ. Sin came to this world, corrupted our bodies, and these bodies, what we have, are corruptible bodies. Only Jesus Christ is the only one, incorruptible one. Once we have that seed, incorruptible seed in us, we have that incorruptible body. According to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, that seed is what? The Word of God. And the word of God is what? Jesus Christ. Once you receive that seed, once you receive that word in you, your body is transformed. You get incorruptible body. And then the word of God is saying, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
That is the hope for the believers. When Jesus Christ comes, he is going to transform you and me just like him. Go back to the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Please go back. 2 Peter, verse 1, 4.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Okay. He says you have to escape this corruption. How the corruption came? By the lust of the flesh. But if you are not living in the lust of the flesh, you are going to escape this corruption. And so what the word of God is saying, if you're living in this world, we are living for Jesus Christ. If you start living for the world and worldly thing, then your body is going to be corrupted. And God has given us an example. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and start reading from verse maybe 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 to 11.
Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things.
Set this for our example. God has set some things beforehand. Something happened to the Old Testament people that was an example, so we should learn from it. Okay, go ahead.
Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, but they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
So the word of God is saying, this all thing happened to this Old Testament people. God called them with a definite calling. Amen. They came out of Egypt. Egypt is like a sin. God called them out of the sinful world. He told them, put the blood sign on the doorpost. And the word of God says, the death angel came and passed over. Amen. And those people were saved by the blood of the Lamb. Yes. That was showing that the blood of Jesus Christ is going to save you from your sins. Then what happened here? We believe that they were saved, they were sanctified, and they were delivered from that great Red Sea. And then they came out of Red Sea, they start disobeying God. And there is a one word say they even attempt Jesus Christ. Somebody said Jesus Christ was not even there. Why the word wrote Jesus Christ, they tempted. You remember when the snakes start biting them? And then Moses cried out and said, Lord, help us, remove this snake. What God says, no. Make a serpent like a brass and put it on the pole. Yes. And lift it up. Amen. And then tell people, look up. And when they look up that serpent, they will be healed. Now, if you read John chapter 3, Jesus Christ was saying to Nicodemus, you know, that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness.
Yes.
That's the way that Jesus Christ should be lifted up.
Amen.
So that was showing that Jesus Christ was going to die for you and for me. And they did not understand, and they did not look up, and many people died. But thank God, we are not living in the mystery. The mystery is open to us. In the Old Testament, they did not know what they were doing. Still, they got destroyed. But today, we know Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross for you and for me. He was buried. He's risen. Today, his tomb is open. And still, we do not believe. So he said, in those times, they did not believe. Why? Because they were going after their lusts and lustful desires. That's why they were destroyed. 1 John chapter 2, and read from verse 15 to 17. If you go after the world is passing away. World is going to be destroyed.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Okay. Love not the world means what? We are not loving the globe. We are loving the things of the world.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
So what the word of God is saying, the lust will pass away, the world will pass away, and everything will perish. And somebody is living in the lust of the flesh, and they sometimes get 90 years, 95 years, and they cannot do any lustful activities, still their mind is lustful. One person called me and say, you know, sometimes I fantasize the things I did in my young age. So the devil wants you to get mixed up with the worldly thing. So the word of God says, the world and the lust of this world will pass away, will be destroyed. So if somebody is enrolled in the worldly thing and do not want anything part of God, they will be destroyed. And the example was given, thousands and thousands of people destroyed. They were saved, they were sanctified, they were chosen, they even passed the Red Sea, and they got the word of God, but still they were destroyed in the wilderness. Our journey is not finished yet. We are just travelers, and we have to just keep on following the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be thousands of temptation coming every day to pull you away from the Lord, but we have to keep on doing the things of God. Otherwise, the word says, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the lust will destroy you. Only way you can escape this corruption of this worldly thing, focusing on Jesus Christ, having the divine nature, having the divine power, and living for Jesus Christ. Even though we live in this world, we are not of this world. We belong to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What you need, the knowledge of God. See, in the beginning we read in the verse 2. It says, through the knowledge of God and our Jesus Christ. And then it says, the verse 3, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory. So, started from the beginning, you need the knowledge of God to overpower, to overcome the demonic forces. Without knowing Jesus Christ or having intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, we cannot defeat the enemy. We cannot put one foot on the world and one foot in the church and say we can make it. The person knows what to do good and doesn't do it. If somebody didn't know the cigarette caused cancer and he has excuse, he says, I thought that's a candy. And so I was just eating like a candy and didn't know that it cassicons. Because there are, if you go to India, they make a candy like a cigarette. Put it in a box and give you sweet candies. So what this idea behind it? You take, the child takes this candy, put it in his mouth, and cigarette, and little by little eats the candy and thinks like the cigarette is finished. So what the devil is trying to say, he gives the idea how to hold the cigarette, how to put it in a mouth, how to take it out, and how to slowly but slowly, it's getting smaller and smaller, and how to handle the cigarette. And then if you know that thing, then you're going to take a real thing. So that's why they introduce this stuff to children. You remember the camel smoked cigarette, we had the board. And the people thought, that's an innocent camel, doesn't smoke cigarette. And they are there, actually then they start doing this practical joke, give the camel real cigarette and camel start smoking. And then they start, hey, look, camel smokes. So the children, they like this animal stuff. And they say, if camel smokes and nothing happens, I can smoke too. So this is what the idea behind it. And today the cigarette company will do advertisement. They will say, cigarette cause cancer, please do not smoke cigarette, go to our website and get help. Indirectly, why are they doing this? Because they do not want you to go them and sue them. They told you it is bad. So I said to this man, don't you think the cigarette is bad? And the word of God is saying, if you know how to do good and if you don't do it, it is sin. What I said to him, I said, you want me to pray for you? And Matthew chapter 18 verse 19 says, if two of us agree on earth, touching anything, God will hear our prayer from heaven and He will heal you, deliver you, or whatever the prayer request is. So I said, how can I agree with you to pray? You know what he says? You don't have to be agree. So the word of God is saying, now coming to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. So what the word of God is saying, you have to pay attention to the word of God. What the man of God is saying, what the word of God is saying, what I need for my spiritual growth. Be very careful listening to the word of God. And he said, add to your faith virtue. God has given each and everyone faith. The word of God says measure of faith. When God created mankind and breathed on him, what happened? God's spirit, God's faith, God's power, God's virtue, everything came in the mankind. The devil tried to destroy when Jesus Christ came, and now he says, I am the author and finisher of your faith. Believe me, once you have Jesus Christ, what you get? Faith to virtue. What virtue means? And the power of God goes together. Faith and works should go together. Faith and love should go together. Faith alone will not save you if you don't have works. What does it mean? I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I don't want to confess to the world. You will not get saved. You can believe Jesus Christ. There are people, they believe Jesus is the Lord. Even the devil believes. What the word of God says, devil believes there is a one God. And he trembles. Did devil get saved? No. Now what you have to do? If you have faith in God, you have to put your faith in action. Amen. That means what you say, you believe. That if you say Jesus Christ is my Lord in my heart, how do I know? The word of God says, if you know the fruit, then you know the tree. If the fruit is good, the tree is good. So we should produce the fruit of righteousness. If I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I apply the blood of Jesus Christ, I become a righteousness of God. Now I should produce the fruit of righteousness, means telling somebody, I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He is my Lord. If you don't confess with your mouth, you cannot have salvation. So you have to do something. Salvation is free, but you have to receive it. To receive, you need a hand. To receive, you need a heart. If you don't receive it, you don't get it. Jesus Christ provided. If the salvation was free and you don't do anything and you get saved, the whole world will get saved, right? But you have to say, Jesus, come into my heart. My heart is open. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I am a sinner. You have to do something to receive it. It's free. Somebody gives you $10,000 free, but if you don't go and get it, you don't get it. The government is not going to come and knock your door and here is food for you. There is a food bank, the food is free, there is so many things are free, still people are homeless. And when the winter time comes, you have to drag them to go to the shelter and they will run away from the shelter. There are people, they want to be homeless. They want to be sinful, but there are few people want to get saved, healed, delivered, and set free. So the word of God is saying, then what happens, he said, when you have the faith, that faith has to go with the power of God, with the love of God, with the obedience of God, and then faith will grow. And then you will have the knowledge of God, what God is doing through you, and why God has called you. What is your mission in this world? Why we are alive in this world? What we supposed to do for God? God's knowledge, God's power will work. And then he says knowledge to temperance. Temperance, what is the temperance? Temperance is the self-control. Once you have the knowledge of God, then you know how to live a Christian life. God's knowledge will help you to do it. And then we say temperance, self-control, will have patience. And patience, godliness. And godliness, brotherly love and kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity, means love. And all of these things comes one after another. And I'm a godly man. He says, so if you're godly, you have brotherly kindness and you should have brotherly love. You cannot say I'm a servant of God and I'm a child of God or I'm a born again child of God and you hate your own neighbor, you hate your own brother. And John says in his letter, if somebody hates his brother, he is walking in death. Amen. Means he has death sentence if you hate your brother. So the word of God says all of this one by one. First you start by faith. If you don't have faith, you are not going to get the power of God. If you don't have faith, you are not going to get the wisdom of God or knowledge of God. If you don't have faith, you are not going to have self-control. If you don't have faith, you are not going to have patience. If you don't have faith, you are not going to live a godly life. If you don't have faith, you are not going to be kind enough to love somebody. So start with faith. And then you grow by step by step by step by step. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. Jesus Christ came into this world for what? To destroy the works of the devil. If Jesus Christ came into this world, please read.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Sin came into this world, devil brought the sin into this world, and people are sinning, and he is destroying the people of God. So Jesus Christ said, I have a plan. I came here to destroy the works of the devil. And so once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he gives you authority over the powers of the enemies. And you can destroy the works of the devil. When the devil comes to your door with a sickness or disease or something, you say, I resist you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Get away from my children, my wife, my family, because God has given me authority over the demonic forces. Okay, let's finish this chapter. Go to the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 to 10.
For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, what things? He's taught about the faith, the virtue, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, and the kindness and brotherly love. All of these things be in you and how? Not only a little bit, abound in you. Means multiply. The love should be multiplied, overflowing love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, please read.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
How the love of God is shed abroad in your heart? By the Holy Spirit. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the love of God in your heart. Because Jesus Christ is the model of love. Without Jesus, there is no love. It says, God is love. That God is love we saw in Jesus Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the love. And the one of the fruit is love. And that fruit is the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. You produce the love. And many people do not want any part of the Holy Spirit or the speaking in tongue or getting anointed by the Holy Spirit. What they're missing, this blessing. He says, only your love will be overflowing by the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, then your love flows. Means overflowing. And that's why when people go to the churches where the churches people are believing salvation, water baptism, healings, miracles, that church you see the love. And the people can feel it by the power of God and by the love of God. So that's what the word of God is saying. When these things has to bound, and he said, then you will be not barren, unfruitful. In what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means once you got all of these blessings, and as I said, started from the faith to knowledge. So what we need faith in Jesus Christ and grow in fully mature, just like Jesus Christ. And so you will have fullness of God and your life will what? Not barren, but fruitful. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, what things? The things we mentioned, is blind and cannot see afar. He's not talking about the worldly thing. We are not talking about this blindness, spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness will take you to hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, he says, the god of this world has blinded what? The minds of the unbelievers. So the devil wants to make you blind. And where he makes you blind? Not here, in your mind. So once your mind is away from God, and you don't think about God, and you think about money, think about fame, think about the worldly thing, and then you're going to be destroyed. Think about spiritual things, amen. Then you will be much more fruitful. The rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now what you got from the Lord, be so diligent. Means don't be negligent. I got something, I'm going to hold on to it. You know, when you're going through the crowd and you have a wallet and you just got a paycheck, what do? Hold your wallet like this and walk. You don't want you lose the wallet. And so that same way, what you got is more than a wallet, more than $1 million check, more than anything in this world. We got eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Devil comes to snatch Jesus out of you. When the Jesus is out, your eternal life is gone, everything is gone, and you will fall. So he said, if you don't do that, you will never fall again. So God did not call us to fall back, but what? To go forward. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. You have given us everything what we need for this life and life to come. Let us grow in the grace and the knowledge of God day by day, defeating devil, producing fruits of righteousness, and living for Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we do not want to fall and go back to hell, but we want to hold on to Jesus Christ. When you come, we will be transformed and we will be there where you are. And so, Lord, you have given us a great hope. Let us live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen.